Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Christian people together form a local congregation. What kind of church are we? I'm not asking what is our name or even the doctrine we teach and believe and practice, although these things are vitally important. The world has varying ways of defining and identifying a church. It may be big or small in number, popular or unpopular, strict or loose, conservative or liberal, Catholic or Protestant, or other distinctions with which the world is acquainted. But regardless of man's classifications, the important question is, are we the kind of church the Lord approves? Now this is what counts. If God does not approve, nothing else really matters at all. And we can know what God approves by studying the congregations of the New Testament. Those churches, like the one to which we belong, were composed of people. They had good points, they had shortcomings. In the Scriptures, the good is commended and the bad is exposed and condemned and corrected. By closely observing the Lord's approval or disapproval through the teaching of the apostles, we can know what God wants and what He expects, what He accepts and what He rejects. This teaching enables us to shun the evil and pursue the good. And there is no better church to serve as an example than the church in Philippi. That church never seems to have given Paul an anxious moment. We learn of it in Acts and the letter to Philippians primarily, but from other books as well. Nearly everything said of it was commendable with words of encouragement which make a good church to imitate. Acts 15 and 16 records the establishment of the church in Philippi. Paul was on his second missionary journey, having visited several churches he had established on his first journey. The Holy Spirit directed him from Asia to Troas. And in Troas, Paul saw a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And he obeyed that call, and he entered the continent of Europe. And he went to the city of Philippi and preached the gospel. Now the first converts were Lydia and those of her household. He found them worshiping alongside a river and gave them opportunity to hear the gospel. They heard, they believed, they obeyed the Lord in baptism. Later, Paul was in prison because he offended the local soothsayers. But this gave him an opportunity to preach the gospel to the jailer, who heard and believed and obeyed. These conversions marked the beginning of the Lord's church in that city and on that continent. The church in this city was composed of both Jews and Gentiles. Now this church was the kind that caused Paul to be thankful to God for them every time he thought of them. Philippians 1, 3 and 4, he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." Are we the kind of church that this inspired apostle would commend in such fashion? It was not the case of every church with which Paul was acquainted, but there were good reasons for Paul's attitude toward them. This church was, first of all, properly organized. Philippians 1 and verse 1, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, and to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." They showed respect for God's governmental arrangement for the church. A bishop is the same as an elder, as is evidenced in Acts chapter 20, where Paul asked the elders of Ephesus to meet him, and he referred to them as bishops or overseers. There was not one bishop over several congregations, but a plurality of bishops over each congregation. That's the Lord's government. We can conclude that these men were qualified to serve in this capacity. It's unthinkable that Paul would be grateful for a church that allowed men to serve as leaders who ignored God's qualifications, and these qualifications are found in Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This church, and many since then, was blessed with the right kind of leadership. Now, just having men who are called elders is not sufficient, nor is it proper. And more attention must be given to those who assume the oversight of a local church. For too long this has not been handled biblically, and men who are not qualified have occupied these influential places far too long and too often to the detriment of everybody concerned. But the church in Philippi was also one that was liberal in giving. Paul held up the Macedonian churches as examples for the church in Corinth to imitate in the matter of giving, 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5. They gave liberally, even though they were poor. They urged Paul to accept their gifts. They even gave, Paul said, beyond their power. Do you think the congregation to which you belong deserves such a distinction? They were steadfast in their support of Paul in his labors. Chapter 1, verse 5, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now," Paul said. Chapter 4, verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." Now this indicates their missionary and benevolent spirit. And they gave of their own accord. As Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, "But first they gave their own selves to the Lord." Dear listening friend, if there is such a thing as a secret to successful giving, I think this is it. The one who has given himself or herself to the Lord will likely, readily, willingly, actively, steadfastly give of their means. God approves churches who are like this church in this area. And the Philippian church was steady in its work. It was not an on fire one day and a lukewarm cold the next. Paul noted, from the first day until now, they had been aggressively active in doing their work. They were zealous and diligent, intent on growing in the faith and standing firm and standing true. He spoke of their progress and their joy in the faith, chapter 1, verse 25, and how they were standing fast in one spirit, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel, in nothing affrighted by the adversary, chapter 1 and verse 27. Churches can engage in good works authorized of God with zeal and fervor, but if they are not attentive, they can become sluggish and sloppy in their work. And when such occurs, everything that can be done to revive its efforts ought to be done. It's hard to stay on top all the time, but good churches are reliable and dependable because they never slacken their pace, but are always pushing for the cause of Christ before the world. It is the constant and steady progress and growth that endures. The spurts and the explosions may provoke headlines and brotherhood brag sheets from time to time, but the church in Philippi was not of that sort. And another quality of the brethren in Philippi that every church must desire was their brotherly love and devotion. They loved the Lord above everything and everybody else, and this is what caused them to be devoted to His cause. But they also made them love one another. Love for God leads one to love His word, to love the lost, and to love faithful brethren. It was love that tied them together in unity in Christ, because they stood together for the truth, in doctrine and in practice. Paul knew the value of brotherly love, and he also knew how limiting the lack of love would be on any congregation. Now, there were several admonitions Paul gave these good brethren. Knowing that the devil never ceases to seek the undoing of faithful brethren, Paul spoke to them, not so much as to correct, but as to assist them in preventing error. In chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, he said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You see, friend, Paul knew the necessity of keep on keeping on, which is a good definition of faithfulness. He encouraged this in these people because he knew faithfulness was essential. And high in his thoughts was their unity. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, takes note of the value of being like-minded. having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. He urged upon them humility, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, humility in the likeness of Christ. He reminded them to continue their working in chapter 2. And concerning their manner of life, he said, chapter 1, verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. As for fears and trials and harassments, Paul gave them admonitions in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 and 19 that could sustain them. Paul knew the concern for the inner man and the thought of the heart. In chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, such was the church in Philippi. It was organized properly. It was liberal in its giving. It was mission and benevolent-minded. It was consistent in work. It was always doing its best rather than just a hit-and-miss program. It was growing in unity. It was standing steadfast in doctrine. It was known for its love. And it was one that was considered by Paul to have respect for the warnings and the encouragements to faithfulness. Is this the kind of church where we attend? To what extent are we like they were? What efforts do we intend to do to make the situation where we are to be more like them? We all can do better and should resolve to be a part of efforts to make things more as they should be. Paul described what that church was to him. He called it an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Friend, it is important how we rate before God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.